Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. As we look at the beginning of the scriptures there, you may not be able to read them on the screen because there is 11 verses there. If not, we have Pew Bibles that you can look into, and hopefully you have your own. But as we look at this, we see that this is Jesus changing the water into wine. Beginning with verse 1, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. May God have a blessing upon this reading. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege, the honor that we have to be here this morning to worship you, to hear you speak to us, to touch our hearts and to move us, to excite us, to help us to draw closer to you, to become a better servant for you, Father. There's so much hurt. There's so much struggle. There's so much hunger, so much anger in this world today, Father, that as we look onto the news, read the newspaper, or wherever we may look to hear about news, it is always sad, hurtful, and disappointing. And very seldom do we ever hear any good news, Father. Our jobs are stressful. Our families have been split apart and struggling. And as we come to these, Father, we sometimes ask why.
Make a better choice, something more important.
But as Christians, Father, we can ask why and know that we can receive an answer. But there are so many in this world that cannot have an answer because they don't know you. And they see a world that is lost, hurting, and heading for doom. But Father, we know as Christians, as believers in you, Father, that yes, this world might be heading in doom, but we are heading to a better place with you, to be with you for eternity, for you have promised that to us. So Father, as you speak now, may our hearts and our ears hear and feel your word this morning in a way that will draw us closer to you, in a way that we can proclaim the name of Jesus Christ until you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And today, we probably feel like that sometimes we're like a car. As you're driving down the road, if you're taking a trip or a vacation, you're driving down and everything is going along and you happen to look, or maybe there's a little ding that goes ding, 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 and you look down and that gas needle has moved all the way over to empty. And you're wondering if you're going to make it to the next gas station or not. Anybody ever tried to see how many miles you could get out of one tank of gas, and you found out that the last drop gave you the last one, and you had to have somebody to bring you some more gas? Have you ever tried to run on empty? And I know with today's economy that more and more people have that gas needle on empty more so than it is on full. But have you ever thought about our lives, how we run on empty? Now, scientists have come up with a new formula. And they are advertising now that about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we have a tendency physically, mentally, and everything else to what? Run on empty. And they say that if you'll take this little bottle of 5-hour energy, it will give you that extra boost. Right? Now, I'm not going to ask how many that tried that, but I've never tried it. I've been tempted a few times about 3 o'clock to really think about trying that. But how many times as Christians do we run on empty? How many times a day do we go and not pray to God, talk to God? How many times do we not read the Scriptures and then wonder why we can't grow in Christ? Why isn't God close to me? Why doesn't He fill me up? And as we look this morning, we want to talk about joy and we want to talk about being filled to the brim. We see in this Scripture that He says He told them to do what? Fill those pots, and they filled them up to the what? To the brim, to the very top of it, as much water as they can. And as we think about that, life isn't quite as good when you run out of joy, is it? How many of you have bought dishwashing detergent called Joy? Used to be real, real big. What happens when you finish using that bottle? If you don't have a replacement, it runs out, doesn't it? And this is what we think of today. It is talking about running out of joy. How many of us have run out of joy? We forget to be excited about Jesus Christ. We forget to smile. We forget to talk about Jesus Christ. Maybe today you're here and you lost some of that joy. Something's troubling you. Something that is happening that is bothering you, that has taken your mind off everything but that one particular thing. Maybe you've been disappointed or hurt, or you're grieving. You're running on empty, and you've lost that joy today. I'm here to share with you that God has told us that we can always get that joy back. John tells us how Jesus restored joy to those who attended that marriage, that ceremony, that celebration they had, and how people were celebrating, and He can do the same thing. He can restore to us today that joy if we will let Him. As we think about that, I want to share with you 4 things quickly. Number 1, be where Jesus is in verses 1 and 2. Be where Jesus is. Be wherever Jesus is. Now, where is Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Where is Jesus? Well, if you look at the New Testament, He was in the synagogue, He was on a road, He was at a party, He was in all kinds of places, wasn't He? Which tells me what? Jesus can be anywhere. So many times we think Jesus is in this church, and at 12 o'clock when the preacher says amen and we can go out the doors, Jesus stays right here, doesn't He? That's the concept that a lot of people have. But be where Jesus is. Jesus didn't spend all His time in the synagogue. He went to the well. He went to a cemetery, didn't He? And cast out demons. Jesus went anywhere and everywhere. He walked. And it wasn't all centered around a synagogue. And our worship, our joy should not be centered around this church. It should be surrounded by the church that is within us, where Jesus is. It says in the Scriptures, the third day, 3 days earlier, Jesus had just called His first 5 disciples. And I'm convinced that this third day is a repetition of meaning the resurrection. He would restore the church in 3 days. I will rise in 3 days. And so we see that. He has come to this marriage, this wedding. He had been invited, the Scripture said. He had been invited. And what I read in this Scripture is this. This wedding was a whole week. Now, we think we've got a lot when we do rehearsal on Friday night. And then Saturday, we do the service. and then we have a little fellowship, and then we take off real quick as soon as we can get out of there. So what? Within a 24 hours? Let's give it 24 hours. This ceremony was a Jewish traditional service. It went a week long. They celebrated for a solid week this wedding. Now, for those of you that have kids or those that have already done it, you've experienced the cost of weddings. And yes, the parents of girls end up spending a whole lot more than the guys' parents do. Can you imagine doing a week-long celebration for your daughter or your son in this type of celebration? 7 days. 7 days. We see that Jesus was invited to this party along with his mother. As we look at John the Baptist, he probably would have not been there, would he? He was rough. He was not a socialite. He was preparing the way of the Lord, but Jesus was. And even though Jesus went, they said, John doesn't associate with anybody. And they look at Jesus, and what did the Pharisees say? He is a drunkard. He is a gluttonous. He is a person that parties with people. He goes to all of these things. But yet, he was a much sought-after person. People wanted to be with him. They felt comfortable around him. Let's be honest. How many of you would feel comfortable around most ministers? How many of you would want most ministers? Now, there are some exceptions. Some are pretty cool, and I like to think I am that way. But face it, when I was growing up, I didn't want my pastor around in a party or any kind of thing like that, did you? And I wasn't being ugly. But he was supposed to be what? Holy, righteous, stiff-necked, which I am this morning. That's what we look at. But Jesus was not all those things. He was sought after. People felt comfortable with him. And Jesus brought joy into the lives of people. The woman at the well was discouraged. She wouldn't even come when the other ladies came to get her water. She would do it at a later time where nobody could make fun of her, laugh at her, talk about her. But the scripture said that she went away with what? Gladness, excitement, to go into town and tell everybody her bottle of joy had been filled. That's why people wanted Jesus there. Jesus brought joy to people. The prophet Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8:10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." If you've lost some joy, you need to spend some time with Jesus. We've got radios, we've got DVDs, we've got CDs, we've got internet, we've got everything possible. There's no reason you can't spend time with Jesus, is there? You can see it, you can hear it, you can talk to him. And we need to do it. Secondly, be aware of the need. Verses 3 and 4. There are needs in our community, aren't there? There are needs within our lives that we don't share with people. Well, you know, that purple, they're just a quiet, secretive person. They don't share anything with anybody. But you know, I think all of us are that way. How many of us share every sin we've ever committed at our church? We all become secretive. How many of us share every sin that we commit to God? We're kind of secretive to God too, aren't we? And it's always easy to pray, "Father, forgive me of my sins." That way, if we forget one, then we've got it covered, right? Sins, plural, more than one. We don't even know sometimes when we talk to God and ask for forgiveness what those sins are. We just know they're sins. I've sinned today. I don't know what I did, but I sinned today. You ever felt that way? And you get ready to pray at night, whenever you pray, and you sit there and you say, "Well, I really don't know what sin I committed today. I thought I was pretty good today, but the scripture says, 'For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.' We've all sinned. So I better ask for forgiveness. Where's the joy? Where's the excitement? So we need to be aware. And we see in this story, Mary was aware. The wine had run out. That was a disgrace in Jewish tradition. You did not have a party, a ceremony like this, and let the wine run out. It was a sin. It was the unpardonable sin. It was hard. You just didn't do it, and you were an outcast. And why was that so important? Wine represented joy. As I studied this in the commentaries, and I got to thinking about it, maybe that's why the winos are so happy morning. Yeah. But joy, wine and joy. But wine is a symbol of joy. And so we see that as we came, this party was coming to a disaster. Twofold disaster. One, they're running out of wine. Two, which we're going to see in just a minute, they didn't save and serve the best wine first. They thought they did. But the wine that Jesus gave to them was what? Better than any wine that could be done. So they had two faults there. We see that as they were doing it, Mary was concerned. We don't know the relationship with Mary and this family, but she was close enough that she was concerned. And she went to Jesus and told him, they're out of wine. Now, if we look at these scriptures now, there's some people that will say, you know, Jesus was rude. Jesus looked at her like, so what? What do you want me to do about it? Have you ever felt that way? Somebody would tell you something and it was that kind of an attitude and you knew they wanted you to do something about it? What did Mary want Jesus to do about it? And as we look at this scripture, we see several things here. First of all, what did she want? And when he said, woman, my time is not yet, was he disrespectful? A lot of people will say, yeah, see, that's where Jesus sinned. That's where he messed up. He disrespected his mother. But he didn't disrespect his mother. In fact, the word woman was the same as mother, and it was of the highest respect. Even on the cross at Calvary, remember? Woman, behold your son. Mother, behold your son. And so we see that he gave the highest respect, not disrespect, but the highest respect. Thirdly, we see the obedience. Be obedient. Mary told the servants to do what? I don't know what Jesus is going to do, and I don't care what he's going to do, but whatever he tells you to do, do it. That was the order of Mary to the servants. Gee, isn't that kind of the same thing that we're told today? Don't know what God's going to do in my life, but do it. We like to try to finagle, don't we? When I was in the Navy and we went overseas, you bought something. If you didn't try to talk them down, they got angry at you. And in fact, in some countries, if you didn't try to talk them down, they wouldn't even sell it to you. They expected it. As Americans, we have learned to accept whatever price and just pay it. But when it comes to Christianity, we try to talk God down. God, you really don't want me to do that, do you? You really don't want me to give my testimony? You really don't want me to pray in public? You really don't want me to share with that person over there on the street corner? You really don't want me to feed homeless people, wash their feet? You really don't want me to do that, do you? You've got somebody that's better. I'm just a nobody. In God's sight, none of us are nobodies. We're all somebodies. So we need to learn to be obedient. And he says, take these water jugs. Well, these were great big things that had about 20 to 30 gallons in it. And as we look at that, we see that they took those and they were used for Jewish purification rites. What were these rites? Washing your hands. Take these six wash basins, these jugs, and fill them up with water. Now already, doctors, nurses, others, sanitary, can you think about using something with all those kinds of germs on them? Can you imagine? You didn't wash them out with soap and Clorox and bleach and get rid of all the germs? You took some dirty pots and filled them up with water? Yes. That's exactly what Jesus did. Could you imagine the servants? But Jesus, we don't need water. We need wine. They're not going to drink that water. They want wine. But they did it anyway. They obeyed. Gee, the servants were obeying what the person was saying better than we were. In scriptures, we see that the word water is often a symbol for the word of God. And they took these jars, six jars, and somebody has done the calculations, and I don't know if it's right or not, but what I read was 180 gallons. It's approximately 2,880 8-ounce glasses of wine. That's a lot of wine, isn't it? Those glasses. And then the last thing we want to see this morning, be the best. You notice what happened when they took what was in it, which they thought was water, and they carried it over to the master, and he sipped on it, and he leaned over to the bridegroom, and he says, "You have messed up." Everybody serves the best wine they've got first, and then they serve the not-so-good wine. But you have saved the best for last. You see, I don't care how good we make wine. I don't care how ripe the grapes are and what the perfect weather is and all of that. When we grow it, we can only do so much with it. But when Jesus takes it, it becomes perfect. And we can never, ever do anything as good as He can. So naturally, it was going to be better. Naturally, it was going to be the best. They started out with what they thought was the best, but they found out the other was the best. Folks, Jesus is looking down, and He wants the best. He wants the best. He told the church in Revelations, "I would rather have you what? Ice cold than lukewarm." He doesn't want lukewarm. He wants us to give the very best that we can give to Him. When we are willing to stand up and say, "I want to serve you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to put my all in it. I want to put my very best in it." Do we do that? Are you the best that you could be for Jesus this morning? Are you doing the very best? Well, I'm at church. I stayed. I went to Sunday school. I went to church. Isn't that good? Is it the very best? How many people come to church, Sunday school, and worship, and leave here and feel no different than they did before? In fact, probably worse. Well, you know, the preacher mispronounced this word, and he read this and skipped this verse. The choir was off key. The pianist missed. You know, we start finding those times, and we talk about those things. Are those the things that are worship? So we missed a song. So I said a wrong word. But if we're giving our all to God, we're not perfect. But we're doing the very best we can do. That's what He wants us. Not perfect, but the very best that we can be in whatever ministry we're serving. Be honest. Be honest with yourself this morning. You don't have to shake your head yes, no. You don't have to raise your hand. All you got to do is think it, and God knows it. Are you the best that you can be for Jesus today? Are you living a life that you are pleased with? Do you want God's best for your life today? A lot of us are just thinking, man, if I could just get God's second best, I'd be all right. I've looked at people and said, if I had as much energy as you did at that age, if I had half that energy, I'd be excited. Why would I only want half of it when I could get all of it? Jesus wants it all, not just part of it. The scripture doesn't speak to this, but I'm convinced that these jars were filled to the brim and the servants emptied out the old water. Folks, we have to empty out our old trash, all the things, the sins in our lives. We've got to empty it out before we can fill it to the brim with joy. You can't have joy, God's kind of joy, and sin in your life together. They don't mix. You've got to empty it out before it can be filled up this morning. Maybe there are some of you today that are stuck on pride or bitterness or some guilt or sorrow, resentment, selfish living. You need to put it at the cross, the foot of the cross for Jesus this morning. You need to empty it out and to fill it new. I'll close with this illustration. I was at a church come Easter, and we had a sunrise service just at one little church out in the country. And one of the things that we were asked to do was everybody was given a little slip of paper and a pencil. And you were asked to write your sins or a sin on that piece of paper. And you were asked to fold it in half. And then we were asked to carry it. And down at the bottom there was a cross there. And you could either take a thumbtack and stick it on the cross, or you could lay it at the cross. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do that this morning. But what I am going to ask you to do is to take it and lay it at the foot of the cross this morning. Those sins, empty out your jar so that it can be filled with joy. Let us pray. Oh, Father, help me to yield all of who I am, to be your transforming love. Break me when I need to be broken, and strengthen me when I need to be strengthened. Father, may I empty myself so that you may refresh me with the Holy Spirit and with your joy of your salvation. Oh, Father, fill me this morning. Fill me to the brim. Amen. This morning we give an invitation to invite people to make decisions in their lives.